truth. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're turning to the book of Luke, chapter number 24 tonight. The book of Luke, chapter number 24. Fifteen times in the Word of God that I can find, and I'm sure there are more. I'm not a theologian necessarily, but 15 times I find resurrection appearances of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the book of Luke, chapter 24 alone, there are at least four times that his resurrection appearance is made. You could see it in verses 13, 14, and 15 with these two that are on the Emmaus Road as they were talking and they were sad and they were communing amongst themselves. The Lord just walked right up to them and they did not know that it was Jesus. And they were going through their sad discussions and the Lord Jesus Christ began to expound to them from Moses and all the prophets concerning himself, the scriptures. And when they got to where they were going, they constrained Jesus, the stranger to them, to go in with them. And they prepared bread and meat, and somehow he took that bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them. I believe they saw the wounds in his hands, and they realized, their eyes were open, they realized who it was. And they said, "Did not our heart burn together while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scripture?" Well, they got so excited that they said, "We've got to get back to Jerusalem, and we've got to get back right now." 7.5 miles back, they begin to travel. And verse 33 says they got back to Jerusalem where the 11 were gathered. And then in verse 34, here's another resurrection appearance. They were saying amongst the service that night where the 11 were gathered, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." Now they are behind locked doors. The disciples are very scared. They're very afraid. And they're discussing these things that the Lord is alive out of that tomb. And they're just bewildered. We see another resurrection appearance in verse number 35. Let's keep reading verse 35. "And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of the bread." So those two disciples from Emmaus walked into that room, into that service. They heard the other disciples talking about Jesus is alive. He's appeared to Simon. They're still scratching their head. They're affrighted. They're terror. I believe they think he's a ghost. He's some type of a spirit. And the two from Emmaus come in and said, "Listen, we were on our way from Jerusalem to Emmaus and he joined up to us. And He was made known to us in the breaking of the bread." Verse 36 says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Now here is another appearance. Here's the third one. He's appeared to the, in Luke 24, he's appeared to the two on the Emmaus Road. He's obviously appeared to Simon. Can't find any other place in the scripture about that. Thirdly, here he is. He's walked into that room. I don't know if he walked through locked doors, if he walked through the wall, if he materialized just out of thin air. I don't understand it, but the Bible says that he stood in the midst. He said to them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said to them, "Have you here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." and you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Whoa, now here's the third resurrection appearance in this chapter. And then the fourth one, you can read it, verse 50 through 53, how he went out to Bethany and he was lifted up before them. They all saw him go into heaven. Now, 15 times we have resurrection appearances of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want tonight, this verse is just needling my heart. Verse 36. And as they thus spake, there they were, locked doors for fear that Lord Jesus just materialized. The Bible said, as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. I want to preach on this thought tonight. Jesus in the midst. Jesus in the midst. Boy, he was here this morning, wasn't he? Oh, he was here in a mighty way. And I've got a sense, I've got something, a pulling and a drawing on me right now that he's here with us tonight. There was a little fellow one time, he had a long string on a kite. I mean, he had it up in the clouds, and he was sitting there, and finally other people gathered around him, and somebody said, I don't see anything. How do you know that you have a kite up there? He said, because every now and then I feel the tug. Now, I know, amen, he's alive and well, and I feel the tug, amen, many times, but I'm telling you tonight, he said he's in the midst as we gather tonight in the house of God. Do you believe that? Amen. He's in the midst. Amen. I want to talk about some times. He's in the midst. Amen. Father, would you help us now to rightly divide the word of truth. Help us to preach in the power of the Spirit. And with this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Lord walked in that room. I believe he wants to show himself to give them further witness, further proof. He wants them to have peace. He wants to commission them for the ministry. And the ministry, if you're going to minister, if you're going to be a church, if you're going to go out and witness and testify and share the gospel, honey, Jesus has got to be in the midst. To be in the midst means he's the one in the center. He's the one that is focused upon tonight. Jesus is in the midst of the scriptures, in the midst of the word of God. May I say these will all start tonight with the letter C. There'll be seven of them. Maybe somebody might want to write them down. Number one. Jesus is in the midst of creation. Think about it. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. For God created the heavens and the earth. All things were created by him. Without him, there was nothing created. He said in Genesis chapter 1, let us, who is us? Adam and Eve were not around yet. The Scientologists were not around yet. The Jehovah Witnesses were not around yet. Who is us? You and me weren't around yet. What, no Baptist preachers? Who is us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Let us make man in our image. Why? You're looking here, you're in Luke 24, right? Look at John chapter 1. Look at verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. That's a capital W. That's a person. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, I can get hung up here for a while, but Jesus is in the midst of creation. May I just say that when you got saved and you became a new creature, you were a new creation, the old things were passed away, and behold, all things were made new. Honey, I'm just going to tell you, you don't have a new beginning. You're not a new creature without Jesus being in the midst, amen. He's the one that has to speak life to you. So number one, we see Jesus in the midst of creation. Now we know that Jesus was born of a virgin. Her name was Mary. She's not sinless. There's only one sinless one, that was Jesus. We know that she was born, that he was born of a virgin. And we know that the Bible would tell us that the Lord sent angels to the shepherds, and the shepherds came that night, and they bowed around him there, and they gave witness to the fact that Jesus was there. Well, I just see right there,
that Jesus is in the midst of them shepherds as they gathered around. He's in the midst of them barnyard animals. In fact, there were wise men that came probably 2 years later, and he was in the midst of them too, amen, when they bowed and gave their gold, their frankincense, and their myrrh. And I'm thinking about Luke chapter 2. Turn here with me. I hope you have your Bible tonight. We will be having Bible 101. We'll be turning some verses of Scripture tonight about Jesus in the midst. In the book of Luke chapter number 2, we find that Jesus' mother Mary and his earthly daddy Joseph, they've gone to Jerusalem to keep the Passover. And while they're there, the Bible says that they start for back home, but they got to missing Jesus. Well, where is he at? We can't find Jesus. And the Bible says that they began to seek him. Now look at verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Now, where was he? He was in the house of God, sitting in the midst. What about that? He's in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answer. So here he is at 12 years of age. He's in the midst of the house of God, with all those doctors and all those religious leaders. He's asking them questions, probably stumping them, and he's also giving answers, and he's sharing the word of God. I'm just seeing Jesus in the midst of his childhood. There's another word that starts with the letter C. He's in the midst of his childhood. He's in the midst of the house of God, even as a child, amen? Number three. Now, we're going to turn to the book of Matthew. Chapter number 14, the book of Matthew, chapter number 14. I'm thinking about these disciples. The Bible said that the Lord called 12 disciples. He said to them that they're to go to the other side of the sea. They're to get in the ship. The Bible says in verse 22, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But now the ship was now, where's the boat? It's in the midst of the sea. What about that? I'm talking the letter C, calamity. Jesus is in the midst of our calamities, preacher. He's not, oh yes, he is. The ship is in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. Tonight, if you're here, you're listening to the sound of my voice, and there's a storm in your life, there's a calamity, I just want to stop and tell you that watch for Jesus. The Bible says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. The Bible says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Hallelujah. In the middle of your calamity, in the middle of your problem, in the middle of your storm, oh no, what will we do? Jesus is in the midst. You ought to pay attention to that very fact. He's with you in the middle of your problem, in the middle of your circumstance. Well, I'm thinking, if he's with us in the middle of our circumstance, in the middle of our problem, oh, preacher, now I think you're reaching, you're stretching it right there. Well, let's go to the Old Testament. Let's look at the book of Daniel, chapter number 3. Daniel, chapter number 3. Please turn there. Daniel, chapter number 3. I'm reading here in Daniel about three Hebrew boys by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, when you hear the music, the dulcimer and all these things, you bow down and you worship my image. And they said, oh, no. No. We're going to worship God, and we're not going to worship your image. We're not going to worship the things of this world. And he said, let me tell you something, boys. Let me give you some advice. I'm going to let you reconsider. If you don't do what I tell you to do, you don't pay and obey my laws and pay attention to what I'm saying, we've got a burning fiery furnace over here. We're going to throw you in it. And just to make sure you know how big the threat is, we're going to heat it up 7 times greater than it's ever been heated. I mean, that thing was glowing red with the heat that it was under. And he said, I'm going to give you one more chance. When you hear the music, you bow down and you worship me. And they said, ain't no use. to even start your music, old buddy. We're not bowing down. We're going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, and that's all we're going to worship. The Bible says that they threw them, verse 23, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselor, did we not cast three men, or did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, yeah, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see, 1, 2, 3, four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the, capital S, Son of God. Now I just want to reason with you for a second. Do you believe that for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that was a storm, that was a trial, that was a calamity? They've been thrown in a burning fiery furnace that's seven times hotter than it's ever been before. They're bound, they fall down, and they stand up, hallelujah, and what was binding them fell off of them. They're not burned at all. They don't even smell smoke on them, amen. And the one in there in the midst of their calamity is Jesus, the Son of Almighty God. I'm just thinking that he's with us in our storm. I'm thinking he's with us in our calamity. Oh, I'm thinking now about a preacher by the name of Stephen. And they didn't like Stephen's preaching. They went to persecute Stephen. They took Stephen and they began to cast stones at him for preaching the word of God. And my Bible says, y'all look, the Bible says that he knelt down. He wasn't knocked down. He knelt down. Amen. There's a difference. And he looked up and he said, I see the heavens opened. And I see one standing on the right hand of God the Father. I see Jesus standing up to welcome me home. Hey, I'm just telling you, Jesus was in the midst of that situation, in the middle of Stephen's calamity. When he looked, he saw the Lord. Amen. Well, I got another one. Of course you do, preacher. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I've got more than this. I'm just trying to cut it out. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm thinking about a man that held the coats of them while they stoned Stephen to death. A man that held the coats of them as Stephen was being stoned. He heard Stephen say, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And he said, I see the heavens open and one like the Son of God standing on the right hand of God the Father. And when he heard that, I believe it pricked his heart. We know that one day he had letters. He was on his way to Damascus. And in the Damascus way, a great light shined. He fell on his face and said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. He said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He said, Lord, what should I do? Amen. He said, I want you to go down here. And told him where to stay. And Ananias had come lay hands on him. The scales would fall off his eyes. Old Saul turned into Paul. He became a great preacher of the gospel. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was robbed. He was left destitute many times, thrown in prison. I couldn't tell you how many times right now he's been thrown in prison cells. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible tells us that he's saying, I fought a good fight, verse 7. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now I'm reading down here in verse number 16. He says that my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I guess they did. He's got a death sentence on his head. He's in a prison cell. He's getting ready to have his head chopped off. He's going to die. All men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Woo! I'm thinking that's a calamity situation. When you're in a prison, when you've got a death sentence hanging over your head, I'm thinking about those disciples in a storm. I'm thinking about Stephen being stoned. I'm thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm thinking about, here is Paul. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from all every evil work. Think about his entire life story. I'm telling you, at any point in time, he could have been killed. But you know what? Jesus stood with him. Jesus was in the midst with Apostle Paul in the middle of his calamity. Amen. Verse 18, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I see Jesus in the midst. Amen. Let's look at another one. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Again, I see Jesus in the midst at a place called Calvary. I see Jesus in the midst. And John, we know that Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless, spotless life. We know that he was betrayed by Judas. He was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. We know that he was taken down there to stand at a place named Gabbatha, which was before the Romans, before Pilate. He was scourged, he was beaten, and now they're taking him up to a place called Golgotha, to a place we know as Calvary. And in John chapter 19, verse number 18, the Bible says, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. Jesus is hanging in the midst of those two thieves. Both thieves railed on him, but one thief repented and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus is in the midst of good and evil, if you will. Jesus is in the midst of right and wrong. Jesus is hanging on that cross, suspended between heaven and hell, amen. And thank God for every sinner that'll call on the name of Jesus. He'll transcend time and eternity and reach his hand out and save you by his precious blood. I'm glad, praise God, Jesus is in the midst. And still to this very day, we look back to Calvary, but every sinner that's getting saved, they're getting saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. They're not getting saved by a baptism pool. They're not getting saved because some Christian rock group was there. They're not getting saved because such and such preacher. Honey, they're getting saved because Jesus was in the midst at Calvary, or they're not getting saved at all. Amen. Hey, Jesus has got to be in the midst. Well, oh, you're close here, so we'll stay with John. We read it out of Luke's gospel. Let's read the parallel passage. We know that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. We know they buried him. And on the first day of the week, after 3 days, Jesus arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. We know that Mary Magdalene, she saw him. The Bible says that when she came to him, he said, touch me not. Don't handle me. Don't touch me. He said, I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. What does that mean? He's got the blood, I believe. And the blood doesn't need to be polluted. The blood, he's getting ready to take it before the Father. He's going to sprinkle it on the mercy seat. Glory to God. Where God's been calling for judgment, Jesus is going to sprinkle that blood 7 times. And he's going to give a wave off of the Father and say, Father, if this blood, my sinless blood, is pleasing in your sight, Father, if it's acceptable, will you accept me? And the Father says, you're accepted. Father, will you accept everyone that comes by the blood? Well, glory to God, the Father says, I'll accept everyone that comes through Jesus Christ. And Jesus comes back down to here this earth. We know that he meets Simon Peter individually to try to encourage him after Peter had denied the Lord 3 times. And the Bible says in John chapter 20, we're turning now to verse number 19. They were having a Sunday night service. Where are we tonight? Sunday night, some of y'all don't even know. We're at the Sunday night service, amen. I had some students come in the math class the other day, 7th graders, of course, and they came in there and said, well, where are we? Just trying to find out what assignment we're doing. It's on the board. What page are we on? They've been in that class all year long, and they're still sitting there saying, what page? Where are we? I said, you're at Bethel Christian Academy. This is the math class. Hey, where are we tonight, church? It's Sunday night, amen. And Jesus is in the midst. They say, preacher, you ought not to get so excited about a Sunday night service. Honey, thank God, I'm here because Jesus is alive. I'm here tonight because Jesus is in the midst, amen. I'm here tonight because I knew he'd be here, amen. Hallelujah. My Bible says in John chapter 20, verse 19, then the same day. What's the same day? Resurrection day. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. Oh, He's in the midst. Preacher, now what are you going to use for a sea here? I'm thinking about the word commission. Commission. He said to him, peace be unto you. When he had so said, he showed unto him his hands and his side. Then were disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. And watch this. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Not only have you been called, you've been sent. Preacher, I don't think I heard that part. Say it again. Not only have you been called. Oh, I got that called part. I got saved. I've been called. It's that sent part I'm having trouble with right now. What? Sent. What? As I understand how God the Father sent the Son. Send me? Oh, yes. He sends you to work to testify and just to live your life a clean life, to testify the goodness and the grace of Almighty God. Amen. He sends you to be a witness and a testimony to a lost and dying world in the marketplace or anywhere you are, that you might be a witness of Jesus. You've been sent. You've been commissioned by the Father. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Well, I'm thinking about the book of Revelation now. Revelation. Oh, how I love this book. Revelation chapter 1. We know that John, that beloved disciple, we know that the emperor has thrown him in a burning cauldron of oil, but he wouldn't burn. And so the emperor said, I know what I'll do with him. I'll banish him to the Isle of Patmos. We'll get rid of that old preacher man. I don't want to have to hear his voice anymore. We want to have our own Roman laws, and he's always condemning us. So let's get rid of him. You see, the world today still doesn't like Christians who use the word of God. They want to have their own worldly laws, amen. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 10, that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and last. Who do you think that is that's speaking to John? It's Jesus, amen. And what thou seest, write in the book, send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now, those golden candlesticks represent those seven churches, represents the church age, the age of grace, that entire dispensation. He turned to look. Now look with me. And in the midst, where? Where's Jesus? Where do we find Jesus when we look? In the midst. In the midst of what? In the midst of seven candlesticks. Now, those candlesticks, that they're lifting up lights. We don't have light of our own. We're lifting up light. That light is Jesus. We're those candlesticks in the middle of the church, in the middle of the seven golden candlesticks. He said, one like unto the Son of Man. Where is he at? Candlesticks. He's in the middle of the candlesticks. I should have used the word church. He's in the church, honey. He's in the midst of the church. If you go to a church that doesn't have Jesus as the foundation, that doesn't have Jesus in the midst, you need to find you a church that does. Having Jesus in the midst makes all the difference in the ministry, makes all the difference in the church, makes all the difference in the fellowship, makes all the difference in the spirit, makes all the difference in seeing souls saved. Make sure that Jesus is in the midst. He said, I saw him, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass. I guess so. He's been walking in the fire and he's still there. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got called out, but Jesus is still in the fire. He's still in the midst of the calamity. Amen. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. Ha! And his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. What's them stars? That's his preachers. That's his angels that go witnessing, preaching. His God called me and amen. Who has control of my voice to preach the word of God? It's not Preacher Darren, honey. It's Jesus that has the charge of what he said and what he's done. Amen. Praise God. He's got the seven. He's got the stars in his right hand. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as that. I think that'd be a a post-resurrection appearance right there. There's one for you right there that you might not have thought of. John on the Isle of Patmos. When I saw him, I felt his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." Now, when the church age began, Jesus is in the middle of the candlesticks. Do you see that? Turn with me. God help us to chapter 3, verse number 20. To the church at Laodicea, which is a worldly church, the last dispensation of churches, a day and age in which you and I now live and abide and dwell tonight. He says in verse 20, to this church at Laodicea, at the end of the church age. Boy, listen, if you've never got anything else I said, get this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. When the church age began, Jesus is in the midst. But at the end of this thing, he's on the outside knocking just to get in. Our churches have become so dry and so cold. Hemorrhoid Boulevard Baptist Church. That's where we are. I'm telling you, we've become. Did you just say that? Yes, I did. I'm telling you, I've been to some of them places. If a cow would have come down the center aisle, she'd have given frozen milk. I'm just telling you, that's how cold. They're the frozen chosen, some of these. I don't want to be in a church of stagnation or of contamination. You didn't just say, yes, I want to be in a church where Jesus is in the midst. Amen. It started with him being in the midst, but as it closes, he's on the outside. My Bible still says in the book of Matthew, write this verse down, chapter 18, verse 20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Amen. Well, we're in Revelation. We're close. Chapter number 6. Chapter number 6. No, chapter 5. Sorry, chapter number 5. Wow. I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Chapter 5, verse 2. I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" Now, this book is the title deed to the earth. Man has forfeited and fumbled because of sin, our power and authority, and now there's bankruptcy. And this book is written within and on the and without. It's how it got into bankruptcy and what it's going to take to get it out. And the only way to get it out is there must be one that's sinless, shed his blood, that there might be redemption. Who's worthy to break the seals, to loose the seals? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. I'm telling you, there are men that would like to have done it. Hitler, Stalin, Trump or Biden, they'd love to say, "I'll open the book, look at me, look at me." But none of them, look, the Bible doesn't say who wanted to. It says who's worthy. Preacher, now you just named my presidential candidate. Now I'm mad at you. I don't care who he or she is, they're not worthy. Only one is worthy. His name is Jesus, and he's the one in the midst. No man was worthy. John says, "I wept much." Preacher, why is he weeping? I mean, why can't we just continue like we are? Hello? We can't just continue like we are. I mean, we're now getting back to killing Jews and it being okay. Imagine if that was different ethnicities being killed like that. Man, people would be arrested and hauled off like crazy. But now, See, this Jew, this kind of like, okay, something's wrong. And it's because Jesus came from the Jews, amen. That's why they're tore up and mad and aggravated. It's because God said Israel could have that as land. And that's ordained of God. It doesn't belong to anybody but who God says it belongs to. He has the title deed. Amen. John said, I wept much because it looks like sin is going to continue its dominion. I'm tired of seeing little children come to school because they don't know what they're going to eat, or they don't know if mom or daddy's even going to be home. They don't know who's going to pick. I'm tired of seeing the brokenness of what drugs and alcohol and what sin is doing to our land. John saw this will never end. He wept much. Sin looks like it has dominion because no man was found worthy to open the book and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. What? Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It was me. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And the root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst. Where? In the midst of the throne. Seventhly, I'm thinking about the city called heaven. He's in the midst. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. In other words, it has the wounds of being slain, but it's very much alive. It's Jesus. He's prevailed. He's going to come and take the book out of God's Almighty's hand, and he's going to begin to loose those seals, amen, after the rapture of the church, and he's going to redeem this world, this earth, amen, and show the earth and the fullness thereof, they belong to the Lord. May I just say amen? He's the one that's in heaven, amen. Heaven has seven no mores. There's no more sin, no more separation, no more sorrow. There is no night. There is no fear. There is no death. Thank God, no more cemeteries. There's gates of pearls, walls of jasper, a street of gold, glorious mansions, a tree of life, a river of life. The people of God gather, and Jesus is in the midst. Go back to our text. I'm trying to round third base and go home. Luke 24, go back with me to our original text. I'm thinking about many, 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 many years ago, 30, 31 years ago, God was dealing with me about preaching. I didn't know that all these 31, 30, however how many it is, years ago, I'd be standing here as a pastor of a church. I mean, a fabulous church. God's people that want Jesus in the midst just as much as I do. Man, I'm telling you, I am blessed and favored of God. What a blessing that is. Those 30, 31 years ago, my daddy, who I love and respect beyond probably anybody else on the face of this earth, my daddy was laying there. He had gotten so sick, and he was laying there. He had surgery. He had another surgery. He had another surgery, and he's laying there basically in a coma. We're in the room with him. He can't move. He can't speak. He's just, well, preacher, was it medically induced? Well, honey, I don't even know to this day. It was the doctor who said, I don't know. I don't know. Done all I can do. Man, I got in there that night, and I got to pray it. And I read about the woman with the issue of blood and how she touched the hem of his garment and how she had to get down like this to touch the hem of his garment. As he passed by, I was reading it out loud at like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And my mother was on the phone with somebody telling them to be praying and how serious the need was. And I'm telling you, when I got to reading that out loud, the Holy Ghost, man, began to, whew, I don't believe in being slain in the spirit, but he was overtaking me. If I could say it like that and you get it. He was just, oh, tears was a rolling. I was a weeping my way to God. My mama, I heard her say, listen, I'm about to call you back because business is picking up. She hung up the phone and she walked over there. I heard my mama pray. She said, Lord, thank you for giving my husband, but he's just on loan to me. He's been yours the entire time. And this trouble, this problem, this calamity belongs to you. I said, Lord, I know you've been dealing with me about it. You saved 23 just the other night, and I'm not even preaching yet. Week before, you saved 7. Week before that, you saved 3. I'm not even preaching yet, but God, just a sign. I want to make sure that I'm not getting this wrong. If you'd heal my daddy, I'll preach. I'll preach. And when I said it, out from underneath that sheet came his hand, straight over his head, and he started praising the Lord. There was a smell came in that room. Or Preacher Darren, was it the cafeteria food? Have you smelled the cafeteria food? It was the sweetest aroma you've ever smelt in your life. Or Preacher Darren, maybe it was the air conditioner. Have you smelled that old moldy air conditioner that's so, that recirculated air? Have you ever smelled the rose of Sharon? The lily of the valley's coming to root. He come in the, boys, I'm just telling you, he come in the midst where we were that night, and he laid his hand up on my daddy as he passed by. We must have touched the hem of his garment, amen, and my daddy was healed and business was done. I said I'd preach, and I said I'll tell everybody what you've done, and here I am tonight telling you one more time. I made God a promise 31 years ago when he was in the midst of my calamity, when Jesus showed up, that I'd tell everybody. I've been commissioned, I've been called, I've been sent. I didn't know I'd be in Spruce Pine all these years later. Man, I sure listened. At that point in time, I thought, I don't want to. But I'm as happy, I'm just as happy as a little baby kangaroo in the mama's pouch. Amen. I'm just tickled to death, amen, to be there serving God. Amen. I'm just telling you, you know where Jesus needs to be? He needs to be in the midst of this church. He needs to be in our Sunday school. He needs to be in our singing in the choir, amen. He needs to be behind the pulpit doing the preaching. He needs to be in the family ministry. He needs to be in every missionary, amen. He needs to be in the outreach program, the evangelism program. He needs to be in the Christian school, the revival meetings, amen. He needs to be in Bible school. Jesus needs to be in the midst of everything. Did you know what Jesus wants tonight? He wants to be in the middle of your life. He wants to be in the middle of your family, mama, daddy, young person. He wants to be in the middle of your fears and in the middle of that thing that's shaking you to your core. He's in the midst of it. If you just see him, if you just look there, may I just say, is Jesus in the midst of your life? Let me tell you what happens when he gets in the midst. When Jesus gets in the midst, he starts opening things. Now, the book of Luke is amazing. Chapter 24. You got your Bible? Look with me in verse number 2. You know what he did? He opened the tomb. Then women came. They found the stone rolled away. Oh, Preacher Darren, Jesus didn't do it. The angel did. Who you think sent the angel? In fact, when the angel rolled the stone away, we could see in there that Jesus was already gone. He wasn't knocking on the rock and the angel rolled the stone away and then he walked out. He was already gone before the angel ever got there to roll the stone away that we could see in. I'm just telling you, Jesus opens things where, listen, things that are dead to you. Honey, I'm telling you something. He can open up things that you think are graveyard dead and bring life to it. Hallelujah. Verse 31. Hope y'all are listening. What does he do when he's in the midst? He opens things that are dead to you and gives life. Verse 31. The two on the Emmaus Road. He's preaching to them. He's teaching them. He's sharing with them. And the Bible says in verse 31, and their eyes were opened. And they knew him. I'm just telling you, there's just something about having Jesus in the midst that opens blinded eyes. And even there's some of us, even though we see, sometimes we don't see clearly. Just tell him, amen, and he'll make it more clear than it's ever been before. Well, look at verse 32. Look what. Did not our heart burn within us while he taught with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? He opens tombs. He opens eyes. He opens the scripture. You ever read and said, I just don't get it. I just don't understand it. I'm not grasping it. Honey, I'm telling you, you put Jesus in the middle of it, amen. He'll start opening it to you. I'm thinking about an Ethiopian eunuch that went to Jerusalem for to worship. He was dead and dry and ceremonial and very formal, and he didn't get a thing, and he's on his way back now, and he's got a copy of the book of Isaiah, and he's reading it, but he doesn't understand it. And so he's desiring understanding. He's wanting his eyes opened. But he's in a wilderness place. I mean, but God had a preacher by the name of Philip who'd been preaching revival down there in Samaria. There was a meeting and a half going on. And the Lord said, listen, leave Samaria. Leave this revival meeting. I want you to go to the wilderness. You want me to go where? To the desert. What? And he gets out there. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm in the desert. And there goes riding by this chariot of this boy that's wanting his eyes open to have understanding of the scriptures. And God said, go attach yourself to that chariot right there. Lord, that's an Ethiopian. Go right now. He went over there. He said, do you understand what you read? He said, how can I accept some man guide me? And the Bible says he opened the scripture and he began to explain to him about Jesus more clearly. And that old boy got saved and he got baptized. And he would tell us that he went back to Ethiopia and started a huge church for the glory of God. What does Jesus do? Hey, when he gets in the midst, amen, he opens eyes, amen, and he opens scriptures that we might have understanding. One more thing he does, verse 45. I want you to see it. Then opened he. Now, he's in the room with the disciples who are sitting there in fear and in terror. He's told them he'd be crucified. He told them he would die. He told them he'd be raised again. They didn't believe all that. And there he stands before them with his hands and his feet. And the Bible says that he's a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Verse 45. Then opened he their understanding. Have you ever needed guidance? Have you ever needed direction? Have you ever needed insight? Have you ever said, Lord, I need to know something. I need to know more about something. Can you enlighten me? Can you cause me to have when you put Jesus in the midst, he'll do it. Let me just give you a little bit of advice. We'll preach it there. I see him. If you'll look for him, he's on every page. Well, preacher, I read that page and I didn't get nothing. Well, then look at the next page. You'll probably find him twice. I'm just telling you, he's in every verse. He's in every page. Jesus is in the midst. Are y'all with me? Honey, I don't know about you. I've seen God do a lot of great things for this church, in this church, but I don't think he's through yet. I think if we'll just keep him in the midst, if we'll desire him to be in the midst, there are things he wants to reveal to us and show us. And maybe, just maybe, there's somebody here tonight say, Lord, I'll be honest. I really need you more in the midst in my life than I've placed you before. And tonight, Lord, I want to tell you, I want to set you in the midst of my life. I'm determined to do that tonight. You stand with me. Seth, I want you to come. I definitely going to say, I'm going to the altar. If you don't go, I don't. That's your business. It won't bother me. You can just wait because I'm going to the altar because I want him in the midst of my life. Lord, I just want to confess to you, I need you in the midst. I need you in the midst of my life. I need you in the midst of my soul. I need you in the midst of my faith. Lord, I need you in the midst of everything of who I am. I want you and desire you
to be in the midst. Lord, we want you in the midst of this church. Every service, every program, every outreach, every prayer request. Lord, we desire you to be in the midst. Lord, I thank you, Father, for all you've done, saving souls, my soul, my family, my church family. Lord, that you wouldn't have a, we would not have a thing tonight. Lord, I just want to tell you, I want you in the midst. Lord, I'm glad for the things you open when you're in the midst. And God, this is so much deeper than I can even grasp. But Lord, I pray that you would grant unto us understanding, enlightenment, direction, guidance. God, you'd open to us the scriptures, and you'd open our eyes to make us more keenly aware of Jesus' presence in our day-to-day life. Ooh. And we'd be more aware in our calamity and how you could show us that things that look impossible, like tombs with stones in front of them, how you have victory over the greatest thing that could ever oppose us. You are greater. Open us, open those things to us, God, I pray. In Jesus' name, help us to put you in the midst. Help us, Lord. Amen and amen.